Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you today on all of our campuses. If you're a guest with us, we have greeted you. I want to greet you as well. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you here during the summer months. Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome Springboro and Northmont and Beaver Creek, Classics, all those that are online joining us in the Dayton area and many places around the country and even some around the world. Those of you that are here in the Centerville campus, great to have all of you here. Thank you for joining us. As we begin a brand new series, and so let me start off by asking you a question. What would it be like if you could have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus? What would that go like, and what would you ask him, and what would the conversation be filled with, and what would that look like in your life? And if you had one chance to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus, what questions would you bring, or what things would you want to talk to him about in life? And so we launched this series, and this can be our summer series, so I hope you'll stay with us, because we're going to look at one-on-one conversations that Jesus had that he recorded for us in his word, in the Gospels, and we're going to learn about all kinds of subjects. Let me give them to you so you know what's coming up over these next 6 weeks. We're going to see that Jesus had a conversation about our past, about doubts, about prayer, which can be really confusing, about politics, about our achievements in life, about helping us to understand how God really, really wants to help us in our every single daily life. And so these are one-on-one conversations that we're going to look at. We'll read and we'll study together to figure out, as Jesus is talking to individuals, having a one-on-one conversation with them, what can we learn? What can we understand about those areas of our life? Our politics, our achievements, our prayers, our doubts. You might have some doubts in your life. Today we're going to look at past, our past, because all of us have a past in some way, shape, or another, and so we're going to look at that today. What's interesting as we launch into this series is that when you talk about your past to the people around you, it seems like culture says, here's the responses that we ought to have towards our past. The responses look something like this. We should have no regrets. But you should just ignore it. You should have no regrets. Don't worry about it. Just kind of put it out of your mind. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Or they'll say things like this, where live and let live. And what I don't even know what that means, really. I mean, it's a conversation that goes nowhere, really, when you think about that statement right there. But that's a statement that we hear when we are talking about our past. Live and let live. And here's another one right here. Move on. Just move on. Just kind of push it beside. Beside you, push it underneath the rug, just kind of move on. And of course, we all know that's just not healthy. It's just not the right thing to do. It's not going to be healthy in our emotions and in our relationships and all kinds of different things that we think of. Or we say this, don't let the past steal your future. And I would say, well, if you don't deal with the past, it absolutely is going to steal your future. Anybody agree with me on that one? And so that's not a very helpful statement at all. There's actually this thing, believe it or not, out there, and I'm not making a statement for or against, so make sure you hear that right now. There's this thing out there that's called tattoo regret. And I was doing some research, really interesting, because one time on vacation, just being transparent with you, my sons said to me, four of them, I have four sons, they said, Dad, why don't we get a tattoo? All of us boys, let's get a tattoo. And so here's what I did. I said, okay, absolutely we'll get a tattoo. If all of you agree on the one that we should get, I knew I was fine. I knew I was absolutely fine because they can't agree on that. The whole week they were talking about it and couldn't agree. And I thought, yeah, I knew I was going to be okay on that one. But there's actually a thing called tattoo regret. As a matter of fact, in doing the research, 70% of people who get a tattoo between 24 and 34 regret that tattoo sometime later in life. Again, I'm not making a statement for or against. I don't know what you think about it. But I think it's kind of interesting that when you think of our past, that sometimes tattoos come in. Let me show you a couple of tattoos that I think the people who got them probably have some kind of tattoo regret in their life. Here's the first one, and the first one says, this is the actual tattoo here, too cool for school. Looks like they probably should have gone to school, or either the person doing the tattoo or the person having the tattoo. I don't know which one here, and I don't know how they got that all messed up, but too cool for school. This is an actual tattoo. Here's a bus right here where you can take the school bus, and there it is. Here's another one, really interesting one. This is a song by Bon Jovi. I don't know if you've heard the song, It's My Life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. We're in church. It's okay. But this is the song that Bon Jovi wrote. It's called It's My Life, and this is how it went, the tattoo. It's My Life by John Bovey. So the whole thing is wrong. I mean, it's just, I mean, talk about tattoo regret right there. The whole thing is really wrong. And this is, I think, the worst one, really. And this is the actual tattoo. And if you look at it really, really carefully. Does anybody see what the problem is? Yeah, talk about tattoo regrets. This person had a regerts, apparently. And so, no regerts in life. There you go. When it comes to your past, no regerts. That's our statement for the week, if you think about it. So we are going to be looking at one-on-one conversations. Imagine you sitting here and Jesus sitting there. And imagine you're having a conversation one-on-one with Jesus. It's pretty phenomenal. Today, as I mentioned, we're going to look at a conversation, actually the longest single conversation recorded in the gospel that Jesus had with one person, one woman, as a matter of fact. It's the longest recorded conversation, a one-on-one conversation, and Jesus is going to talk to you, talk to me about our past. We're going to hear a conversation about Jesus and our past. How do we handle our past? Because we all have a past. As a matter of fact, there's four things that really define our past. Sometimes when we think of past, we think of something, you know, egregious, something horrible, and that's true. There's some of that certainly, but I want to just take a look at anything that you have in your past that might be hounding you and you struggling from some emotional pain that you have. Let me give you four ways that you and I have a past. Number one is when you and I make a decision in our life that creates some kind of pain. That's considered a past where you know, you can go back to that decision and you're like, I don't know if I should have done that. I don't know if I wanted to do that. So that's one. One is where you make a decision and it's not a good decision and therefore that's part of your past. Here's the second way where you don't make a decision. You fail to make a decision in a particular situation or circumstance and in life, and because of that, you've got some pain and some hurt and some struggle, and that's considered part of your past. Or here's a third one where someone else makes a really bad decision, which brings pain and agony into your life, my life, and that's part of our past. I have some of that. I'm sure you do as well. You can go back and think about those in your life, and so that's number three. And then here's the fourth one, the fact that we live in a sinful, fallen world. I mean, we have health issues. That's part of our past. We have financial issues. You may have lost a job at some point. There may have been a relationship where somebody betrayed you, and that's part of your past. We just live in a sinful, fallen world, and because of that, there's all kinds of things that happen in our life, and that really all is in the category of our past. Some of it's big, some of it's small, some of it's kind of funny and strange, some of it is sad, but all the while, as we think about our past, no doubt there's probably some pain, some sense of hurt. How do we get over that? And what does Jesus have to say about our pain and our hurt and our past in our life? I want to give it to you right up ahead. If you're a note taker, you may want to jot this down. You'll see in this conversation, this one-on-one conversation that Jesus has with this one woman, that Jesus wants to chase us when we think about our past. He wants to enter into our past and he wants to free us. And so those are three powerful words. He chases us as we think about our past, or he chases us even if we're running from our past or if we can't get past our past. He chases us. He enters into that for us, and then he wants to free us, and that's really important. You know, if you were to take your Bible and go from cover to cover and study it, there's a lot of people in the Bible that have a past. Did you know that? Let me just show you a word cloud real quickly because it's all through the Bible. In fact, I didn't even put everybody on this. These are just many of the names. There's many more actually that are in there. There's people like Matthew. He had a past. Gomer had a past. Paul had a past. Rachel, Mary Magdalene, Peter had a past. Rachel had a past. Eve had a past. David had a past. Moses, Noah. I mean, all these people had a past in Scripture. And it's amazing how this one conversation that Jesus has, we can learn so much as we listen in and read the one-on-one conversation that Jesus has. And so here we go. Grab your Bibles to the New Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. It is the story, the conversation that Jesus has one-on-one with the woman at the well. Or the Samaritan woman is kind of mentioned a variety of different ways, but it's a very powerful story. I think it's one of the most powerful stories in all of the Scripture. And so what I want you to do today is, as we read this, I want you to underline some things in there. So I hope you have your Bibles or devices powered up, because this story is so powerful, and I want to look at it in a way that perhaps we haven't looked at it before, and I want to look at this woman in a way that perhaps we haven't looked at before. I wonder if she gets a bad rap. because I wonder if she just went through life and there was all kinds of pain, maybe not because of the decisions she made, but because maybe some decisions that somebody else made in her life. Or maybe she was just a victim of the fact that relationships are tough. It's really tricky and it's, you know, difficult in life. And so we're going to try to understand that. But let me give you the bottom line today. Take a screenshot of this if you want, or write this down, because this is the whole topic of this conversation. I think this is what Jesus is driving at when you read the story. It really is like the statement that's on top of this whole thing as we read the conversation, which I'm going to do for you in just a little bit. Here's, I think, what Jesus is trying to communicate to us, and that's this: that Jesus wants us forgiven and free from our past. Two things. What's really interesting, if you look at your own life, because I've had a little more time with this, and maybe this week, as you are in your small group, or as you're taking a break from your small group, and you're still, you know, maybe communicating, or you got somebody that you meet with on a regular basis, or your personal study, I want you to think about these two words, because what I have seen in my own life, and maybe you have seen it as well, that the word forgiveness is something that perhaps you've been able to deal with. The more difficult one is that you're not free yet. And I think what Jesus wants to communicate in this story is that he wants us to be forgiven and free from our past. You see, it is possible to be forgiven of our past, but not free. Would you agree with that, church? It is possible. And if you're not free, there's some things that are clear indicators of that in your life. Let me give you three of them. There's probably many, many more. But I see that in this lady's life. I see it probably in my own life. And maybe you'll see it in your own life, that you may be forgiven of either a decision you made or a decision you didn't make or a decision somebody else made, forgiving in them or something that happened and forgiving God, because we blame God for a lot of things He actually didn't do. That's amazing, actually, when you think about it. But you might not be free today from your past. And if you're not, a couple things that will define that. Number one, our past can hold us back. Our past can hold us back because we put it in a category. It's self-denial, and we just want to pretend it didn't happen, or we just don't want to think about it. And you and I both know that that just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's like an anchor tied to our legs. That there's just no way. And ultimately, it's holding us back. It's holding us back emotionally. It may be holding you back in a relationship. If you're single or married, it could be holding you back in the way you communicate in relationships. It could be holding back trust in terms of how you see other people around you, whether it's the opposite sex or people in authority or people around you. There's just so many things that are part of this. And so one of the things that it holds us back. Secondly, we haven't experienced healing yet, where forgiveness can happen, but you're not free, meaning you haven't experienced the kind of healing that God wants, healing that will cause us to be able to work through those emotions and those difficulties and so forth in our life. And so that's one of the ways that we know that you may be forgiven, but you perhaps aren't free yet. And one of the ways you know that is because you really haven't experienced healing. It's like a small thing that if it's brought up in your life, it's so hard to even touch in a conversation, because touching it even in a conversation, it's like a bad tattoo. It just has a scar that's there, and you travel with it your whole life. There's no way to get rid of it. It's just there, and it's sensitive, and it's hard. And healing certainly happens over a period of time. It doesn't happen literally in a moment, even though you can be healed in a moment. Many times it happens over a period of time. And then the third thing, as we think about this, is that you haven't found purpose with our past. Do you realize that there's purpose in your past? I want you to see that today in this conversation. It's absolutely amazing, because I don't think we see this in this story, that you and I can have purpose with our past. Now, let me make sure I'm very clear here today in all of our campuses and online and wherever you might be joining us. I'm not saying that Jesus or God did these things to you. In fact, the matter is, you may have made a decision, or you didn't make a decision, or somebody else made a bad decision, or we live in a sinful, fallen world. The problem is that we go through life and sometimes we wonder to ourselves, you know, what kind of purpose can we have with our past? I think you know this, but let's rehearse it together. You see, the Bible's pretty clear in the New Testament that God can make good of all things. Am I right, church? He can make good of all things. And so what he desires to do is to take your past, as you experience forgiveness and freedom, he can give you purpose in your past, and we'll talk more about that as we read this story today. It's just absolutely amazing. So it is possible. It is possible to be forgiven of our past, but not free. Jesus wants both. And I want you to see that in this story today. Jesus wants both. And I want you to see, as I mentioned, that there are three things he does. He chases after us, he enters into our past, and then he frees us. And so let's take a look at that. I'm gonna read the story for you. I know it's a very familiar story, but there's things in this story that I think will help us as we consider what it means to move past our past. Here's number one, as we think through this, as far as chasing, and that's this, that Jesus chases us in our pain, our past, in our pain, and he does so because ultimately he wants to free us. Forgive us, but he also wants to free us. And so let's take a look. Let's take a look at the story. Actually, pick it up in verse 3, John chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to try to read the whole conversation because it is a long one-on-one conversation, which is just awesome that Jesus has preserved this for us. It says this, that he left Judah and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. You may want to underline the word had to pass. Most Jews didn't go, as you know, through Samaria because of the tension and so forth. It would be like if you were going to Cincinnati from the Dayton area. If you don't live in the Dayton area, this doesn't make any sense unless you look at a map, but it would be like if you went from Dayton to Cincinnati, but you went by way of Indianapolis. That's way out of the way. We all know that. But that's what Jews did. They didn't go straight through to Galilee. They would go way, way to the east and then go around Samaria because the Samaritans were the half-breeds, if you will, and they had no conversation with them. As a matter of fact, that you weren't even allowed to talk to them, and we'll see that in just a little bit. But I want you to notice that he had to pass. If you like to write in your Bibles, that means that God chases us. He did this for one woman. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't coincidental. He knew this woman was going to be there at noon. We'll see that in a second. This is absolutely God chasing her in order to have a conversation with her because he knew she had a past and he wanted to bring forgiveness and freedom in her life. Verse 4, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Very important place. I mean, has all kinds of history. Verse 6, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, which is awesome because that tells us that in his human body, he suffered the way you and I did. He gets hungry, he's thirsty, he's God, and yet he's in flesh. And so he's there, he's wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour, it was noon, the hottest period of the day. If you've ever been to Israel, it is hot. And if you go at noon, it is really hot. And it was at noon and he was there. And verse 7 says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Of course she did. Jesus knew she was coming. And we're not given her name because her name is not important. And in fact, I wonder if the reason we're not given her name is so that you and I can read this conversation, this one-on-one conversation, and ask ourselves the question, if I were the woman, what would that look like in my life? Even us guys can relate to her story because of things that happened in her life that we'll talk about in just a second. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And the word give me there seems a little harsh. It's not. If you look in the original language, it says, may I have a drink? Would you grant me a drink? He's having a personal, intimate conversation with her. For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he was there by himself. She was there. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than the father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And we have to put our finger here for a second and say, uh-oh. Let me show you how far Jesus chased this woman. He went through Samaria, which is a place that you didn't go as a Jew. But more than that, there were some things, that he did that proves to us that Jesus will chase us in order to help us to be forgiven and free from our past. Jesus did things that no doubt everybody there would have known this right at the top of the story, right at the top of the whole situation, and that's this. See, Jews weren't supposed to speak to Samaritans, as I mentioned. They weren't even allowed to have conversations with them, never mind go through their towns. That just didn't happen. And so there's a social law that Jesus broke right there. He said, hey, could you grant me a drink? He was in Samaria, in a city there, Sychar, and so he wasn't supposed to speak, so he broke one social law, if you will, or one understanding. And secondly, men were never permitted to be with the woman alone, never. That was just, you know, that was something that you just didn't do. And it's probably a pretty good practice, by the way, if you're a married man, not to be with another woman alone. And so in this situation here, we see that Jesus broke another social rule, if you were, where he shouldn't have been there. He went there to chase her down in order to help her to get free and forgiven from her past. Thirdly, men weren't permitted to address a woman without their husband's presence. So it's one thing for him to be at the well at noon, hottest day of the day. It's another thing for him to say, would you give me a drink, to have a conversation? You just didn't do that unless the husband was there, because oftentimes you would speak to the husband and asking a question about the woman, and the husband would ask the woman, and the woman would respond to the husband, and the husband would respond to you. That's how it went in the social cues. And then here's the fourth thing that we learn in this, that rabbis had no business speaking to what was called, quote, a shady lady, right? And so there's another rule socially that was seemingly broken that was there. It's incredible when you think about the story, how far Jesus chases this woman to have this conversation. And then he says to her, everyone who drinks of this water, verse 13, will never thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come down here to draw water at noon where I'm alone because I'm an outcast and I don't want to have conversations and I don't want people looking at me. I don't want pointing fingers. I don't want the woman to be gossiping about me. She's here at noon. It's unbelievable. Here's a double entendre, they call it, where there's two meetings here. The one is where he wants to satisfy for her a thirst to get past her, to be free and forgiven from her past so that she doesn't have to come out at noon and have to go through all this stuff in her life because she had this past. And so Jesus is saying, you know, I can give you water that will you will never thirst again. You can get past all the things in your past, and I want to do that for you. I want to make sure that you have forgiveness and freedom. He chases her down. And then the second part of the double entendre is that the living water that he wants to give to her is a relationship that, if you don't know this, let me make sure it's very clear to you, all of us, in all of our campuses and online, wherever you might be at, it's in a relationship with God that we find a God who loves us so much that he chases us in our past in order to free us. It happens through a relationship. And that's exactly why Jesus wanted to prove to her that God cared enough about her to break all these social rules, to come into Samaria, to be able to meet her and have this one-on-one conversation in order that she might be forgiven forever, forgiven for now, and free forever. Doing some yard work with my wife. She loves to do yard work. In fact, I think there's only two kinds of people on the planet. There's people who love to do yard work, and there's people who hate to do yard work. So let's try it in all of our campuses. How many of you, by raised hand, you love to do yard work? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. Just put them up high proudly. You are the yard people. We come by your house. Yeah, I'm looking around. It's awesome, okay? And it's interesting how some of you, I'm looking out, some of you spouses that I know, your spouse isn't raising their hand. That's a problem. How many of you do not like yard work? Can I just see your hands? Look at that. There we go. Okay, we are the none. My hand is up. I don't like to do yard work. My wife loves to do yard work. And so we were doing yard work together. This was my act of love to her. We were outside doing yard work, and we let the dog, we have this little tiny dog, I've showed you pictures before, Boba's her name, and we were outside, and all of a sudden, Boba went crazy. And we thought, what is that? And so we went over, and it was a little nest of brand new bunnies. I mean, they were like this big, little tiny bunnies. They had their little long ears and, you know, their little nose was moving like this, and it was incredible. And they were like in this little nest, and my dog was gonna go in there and probably eat them. I don't know. I don't know what dogs do that, I guess, you know. And so I stopped the dog. We put her back inside. She was going crazy. We could hear her on the inside. And we pulled out these little bunnies. There were three of them. Two of them looked pretty healthy, and one was a runt. Actually, the runt didn't make it. checked yesterday late, and Run didn't make it. So we got a little box and put them all together. And it was really interesting because the two healthy ones, I was putting them in my hand and trying to, you know, make sure it was okay, because I'm going to take care of it. It's okay. You're okay, little bunny. You're okay. And we put some lettuce and some carrots in there. And you're okay. And he jumped out of my hand. It was unbelievable. Jumped out of my hand, landed on the ground, rolled for a little bit, and then took off. And I'm chasing this little bunny all over my yard. And what's interesting is this bunny has no idea that I'm chasing it, except the fact that he sees this big, huge shadow. And I thought to myself, as I'm starting this message, I'm thinking to myself, isn't that what God does? He chases us, and we think that there's harm coming, and we don't even see it. This bunny had no idea that I was going to take care of it. I was not going to harm this thing. I was going to put it into a box, which I tried to put into a box, and give it food and water. And this is what Jesus does. He chases us through life. And at times we're not even sure it's good for us. That's exactly what Jesus does. He chased this woman. So here's the question before we get to the next two. The question is this: is there something in my past, in your past, that is holding you back? Because Jesus wants to chase your past down, because chances are there might be some emotional thing or trust issue or whatever it might be that's holding you back. And today could be your day. Today could be the day where you experience freedom, where you just say, it's holding me back. I need your help. I don't even recognize that your help is good here. You're chasing me like a bunny, and I don't even realize and recognize that that's happening in my life. That's what Jesus does. He chases us to bring forgiveness and freedom in our past. Secondly, he does this. He enters into our past to prove that he cares. He enters into our past. Let's take a look. You know the story. Here's what happens. Verse 16. So Jesus says to her, as they're talking about living water, he changes the subject. He says, go call your husband and come back here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. You know the story. And Jesus says, you're right. I have no husband. You're right in saying that. For you have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And what you've said is so true. Let's just stop here for a second and let's think about this, because many of us heard this story. And of course, this lady, she's a shady lady, right? In the story. Well, let's think this through a little bit. Five marriages. I want to interview the five men. Anybody else? I would love to have a conversation with those men. Because it could be that she has a past because she feels alone and she feels afraid. Because back then, in the first century, there are many men that lost their lives in war or in famine or in disease or in injury because they had to work. Who knows? Maybe she lost five men, and she was so alone and so afraid of getting married again and losing another husband that she was with number six. Who knows? Or maybe it's that she had been abandoned and becoming a beggar and a prostitute or a live-in. Where it's like she had very little options in life and she hated what she was doing. And that's why she's there at noon, because all the other women were talking about it. And yet she was so beyond in her life, she felt rejected. And that rejection for her was what Jesus wanted to go and chase her and enter into her life and her pain. He knew all about it. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen series. Anybody ever seen The Chosen series? This is the one clip that if you haven't watched The Chosen, you gotta see this one. It's brilliant the way that they play this out in The Chosen. As a matter of fact, we tried to show it and we were afraid that it would get taken down because of all the campuses that we have. But I really wanna encourage you. In fact, on social media, we're gonna put a link there for you because you need to watch it. It's really amazing the intimacy and the love that Jesus enters into this woman as she's there. It could have been that she may have had a past in her own life that she was dealing with and didn't know how to live her life into marriage. Maybe she was lacking love because it wasn't there in her home. Maybe she had a father wound. Maybe her mother was mean to her. We don't know. There's all kinds of opportunities here. Maybe it's that she was given up on marriage and she was living with a man because just marriage isn't working anymore. By the way, church, did you know that in 2022, the institution of marriage, or the gift that God has given in marriage, is on the greatest decline? Do you realize that between the ages of 24 and 34, marriage is increasingly inconsequential? And see, here at Fairhaven Church, we've said this, and I'll say it again. If you're single, we categorize you as a family. If you're married, we categorize you as a family. We don't distinguish between the two. But I will say that if God is leading you into marriage, this woman may have had lots and lots of pain around that, and she just didn't want to do it again. So I want to tell you that maybe Jesus can enter into your pain and enter into your relationships that you have. Verse 19, and so the woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and they say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to have worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You will worship what you know. We will worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Jesus enters into her pain and into her past because it was affecting her ability to worship God. It was affecting her ability to even see a good God in her life. And that's what Jesus does. He enters in. When I was in college, I took quite a few counseling classes because I actually thought I was going to double major in counseling. I actually got a minor in counseling. And I remember in my counseling classes, they said something, and then they put a picture, not the picture I'm going to show you, but they put up a picture. And the professor was trying to help us understand as counselors that there's a huge difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy means that you care about that individual and you want to help that individual, but you've got to be very careful that you don't get sucked in, that you enter into the emotions, and so that both of you don't do well. Empathy says you're willing to go all in. You're willing to go all in and help with the emotions, and in fact, even take on the emotions of that individual to the point where if they feel an emotion, you feel an emotion. And in the counseling classes, this is what I was told. I was told that you should sympathize with the person that's having pain, but you should never empathize with the person unless you have a very intimate relationship with them. And even then, it's very dangerous because both of you could go down. And here's the image that they showed me in talking about it. The image was that if you're in a boat and there's a person drowning, you don't go into the water and help them. You just simply throw a buoy to them and hopeful that they will grab the buoy and that you can pull them in. You enter into their pain. You try to help them, but you stay in the boat. In fact, I remember the professor saying, "Stay in the boat." I want you to notice that Jesus empathized. He went all in. And he went all in to the point where he was willing to die for this woman, and for you, and for you, and for me. He jumped out of the boat. He did what my professors in college say you shouldn't do. That's what Jesus does, because he enters in to our past in order to help us. Here's the question for us as we think this through, and that is this: is there something in my past that I need to allow Jesus to heal? Because he wants to enter in. He went all in for you and for me. And you could draw that line today. Healing begins in a moment, and it happens in a lifetime. Is that right, church? It begins in a moment, and it happens over a lifetime. And so what would it be like if today you just drove a stake and said, "You know what? I will allow God to heal me. I will accept that as he enters in and he goes all in for me." What an incredible thing for us. The story goes on. And here's number three for us as we're thinking this through. And that's this: that Jesus frees us so that we can help someone with a past. I don't have time to read the rest of the story, but you know the story. Is that they were there and she was having a conversation with Jesus about living water and then about worship. And then Jesus was talking to her and the disciples came back and she went back into the village and brought all of her family and friends. Have a feeling she brought the guy with her, and they all came and they invited Jesus to come and stay a couple days with them in the village. And here's the lesson that we learn: you can have purpose in your past. The purpose that you can have in your past is that as you become forgiven and you become free, God can use your story in someone else. Church, listen carefully. You can provide value in a kingdom way to somebody around you. They don't even have to be in this church. You can provide that for them. Let me give you a couple things in my life. When my parents got divorced, I was in college. It was very painful for me. And I can relate with children who have gone through divorce. I can think back decades ago when we had a special needs son and we were gifted a Make-A-Wish trip. It was awesome. And I know what it's like. I can sit in a room with another family who has special needs, and I don't even have to say a word. They don't even have to say a word. I know exactly what they're feeling. It's incredible that you can have a purpose in your past, that God can use that in some powerful way, that not only does he want to forgive and create freedom for you in your life, but he wants you to bring value day by day in somebody else. My brother, 5 years ago, now, I think it's 4 or 5 years ago now, maybe I'm blocking it out, he passed away. And we think it was passive suicide. We don't know, but it was a big loss. In fact, it took our family 1 year before we had a memorial service for him, because we just couldn't get our head around it. And so my mom says, I can't, I have to wait. And I said, Mom, you don't have to do it right now. So we waited an entire year and we did a memorial service for my brother. And if you've lost a sibling, if you've lost a child, I think I know the feelings, because I've had that in my past, difficult stuff in our past. And yet we can find purpose in our past. That's part of how Jesus frees us. I would even go so far as to say that when you have purpose in your past, that's part of your freedom. Part of your freedom is when you're able to help somebody else in the very things that are in your past. You see, is there something in your past that I will let God use in somebody else's life? That's the question today. Is there some part of your past that you can say, you know, God, I want you to use it. Like I said, it's part of your freedom. I want you to use this in a very powerful way. And we end where we started, and that's this. Jesus wants us forgiven and free from our past. Anybody want to say an amen on that one? That's really good right there. What a one-on-one conversation, a long conversation that Jesus had with this woman that can help me and help you. Would you bow with me for a minute? Today could be our day. Let Jesus chase you. Let Jesus enter in. And maybe today you just want to articulate, God, I want to let go of my past. I want your forgiveness. I want your freedom. Father, I pray that you would speak to every single person here, those online, at all of our campuses. Lord, we thank you that you give us this incredible story that is so relevant to our lives. We all have a past. We all have things that we're wrestling with. And I pray, Lord, that today, that the journey of healing would begin as it begins in a moment and it happens over a lifetime. I pray, Lord, that you would be with me, that you'd be with my friends, that you'd be with us as a church family, that as people see us, as we walk around because we carry your name as followers of Jesus, we pray, God, that you would help us, that part of our freedom would come in bringing value to those all around us each and every day. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.